Good morning. I'm Sam Fuqua. Thanks for tuning in to listener-supported community radio. Coming up after headlines, we check in with health officials in Boulder County for an update on the vaccine rollout here. And then we'll introduce you to KGNU's new news director. Check in with the BBC again at 8:30, and then the political reality of climate change, a look at President Biden's use of executive orders to address the climate crisis. That program goes through till 9:30, at which time we bring you eclectic music on the Morning Sound Alternative. It's all still ahead, all made possible by the listener members of KGNU. Thank you, members. Checking state and local news now, a Colorado military base might be used to house unaccompanied migrant children. The Denver Post reports that Peterson Air Force Base in Colorado Springs is being considered to house some of the children who are among thousands of people seeking asylum at the U.S.-Mexico border. The Defense Department has not confirmed the request, but officials visited the base last week at the request of the Housing and Human Services Department. The federal government has used military bases in the past to house immigrants and refugees, but never in Colorado. Military facilities in southwestern border states were used for that purpose during the Obama administration. The Biden administration is not sending unaccompanied minors back to their home countries, and detention facilities on the border are overcrowded. Boulder County reported 100 new cases of COVID-19 yesterday. Steve Miller reports.
Boulder County reported on Wednesday that the 100 new coronavirus cases were the largest number of daily cases since March 13th. The Daily Camera reports that CU Boulder registration for fall classes opens Monday. Students will be choosing from classes that are around 70% in person, 10% hybrid, with the remainder being remote. The university has an online vaccine sign-up form available for students, faculty, and staff, and they feel that there will be enough vaccine supply available for those wanting one. They are estimating that at the beginning of the fall semester, 75% of the campus population will have immunity to COVID-19, either through vaccination or through prior infection. Currently, there is no requirement to be vaccinated in order to be on campus. Campus officials are evaluating the legal and ethical implications for such a requirement. On Friday, the state will open up COVID-19 vaccination eligibility to anyone 16 and older. According to the state's Wednesday weekly report, the number of active COVID-19 cases decreased again, but correctional institutions saw increases. 4 jails in the state reported COVID-19 outbreaks. Clear Creek, Summit Counties, the Delta Correctional Center, and Denver Women's Correctional Facility involved outbreaks of fewer than 20 new cases. I'm Steve Miller for KGNU.
An estimated $37 billion in federal pandemic assistance flowed to Colorado over the past year, and more is on the way. Most of that money went to small businesses. They received over $17 billion in loan assistance. Another $6 billion went to unemployment assistance. But Colorado ranks near the bottom in sending any of that relief money to local governments. The Denver Post reports that the state ranks 46th in per capita funding provided to state and local governments for fighting the pandemic. And the Boulder County Crisis Fund raised over $1 million in 1 week after the mass shooting at King Soopers. The Boulder Community Foundation reports that 9,300 people contributed to the fund after it was established the day after the shooting. An advisory committee has been established to determine how to distribute the funds, but a Community Foundation representative quoted in the Daily Camera says the largest share will go to the families of victims. Sunny skies today and warm temperatures across the metro area, highs in the mid to upper 60s, maybe even 70 degrees. Continued warm weather tomorrow with a high on Friday of 70. It's 10 minutes after 8 at KGNU. So, the vaccine rollout continues across the country and here in Boulder County. As of Monday, March 29th, the Boulder County Health Department reports that almost 38% of county residents have received at least one dose of a COVID-19 vaccine. That, of course, means 62% of people in the county have yet to get a shot. Some of them are children, but there are also thousands of adults in the county who remain unvaccinated. For an update, KGNU's Marian Schiff spoke with Dr. Ben Kiden, Chief Medical Officer at Boulder Community Health, and Chris Campbell, Emergency Manager of Boulder County Public Health. She began by asking Dr. Kiden about some of the challenges of managing an inconsistent vaccine supply.
I know that there have been stopgaps in it. This hasn't been smooth sailing from the very beginning. Testing supplies were coming, they weren't coming. Vaccines were coming, they weren't coming. There was no federal guidelines as to who was making the vaccines. How were you getting the region strips for the testing? How did that impact both of you, and is it still impacting you?
I think the rapidly changing information has been a struggle for everybody, including our patients and our community. And so what we have done is just had to have immense flexibility and say we're ready to vaccinate 10,000 people this week and maybe 200 next week based on vaccine supplies. And we're in 1B3 today, and then, you know, the state announced we're in 1B4 a few days later, and we just pivot. And it's been stressful, I think, internally, but outwardly we're trying to just pivot and be as quick as possible to adjust to the changes. And I think it's been a communication challenge. Like, how do we communicate clear guidance to our community when the guidance is not always clear? I think that's just been a challenge. The other thing I'll say is what Chris was talking about, how we partnered. We have a lot of experience with broad vaccine campaigns, and we look at flu vaccine, and we looked at a couple things you have to do to increase flu uptake. One is you have to make it easy and efficient so people can just come in quickly. There's not a lot of barriers. It's cheap or affordable or really no cost for COVID vaccinations. And then you have to address education and the fear. And then I think you have to sort of work through what makes people hesitant to get vaccines. And so what we realized is we're pretty good at lots of those things, but we needed the partnership of public health, who's really more experts in equity and reaching community members who may be harder to reach. And so what we said is we have the system to vaccinate, you know, 10,000 people a week, but we need help reaching people, addressing the inequities that are naturally occurring. And there's some unexpected, unintended consequences of the equity approaches. For example, this vaccine tourism, because Boulder has done such a good job vaccinating its residents, we're now getting less vaccine than other counties. So people are leaving and going all over the state trying to get vaccinations. And so we're trying to say, you know, I think our approach, Chris and myself and the county, is how do we actually go to these people that are having the inequity or having lower uptake of vaccines, whether that would be the Latinx community, the LGBTQ or others, and trying to offer them and address all those concerns that I mentioned.
For people that are hesitant about receiving the vaccine, they don't know if it's vetted enough. What are the repercussions of it? And I, for one, had those questions. How are you addressing that to the communities that are resident, as was said, to come in and even get the vaccine, to want to give any information if information is needed?
Absolutely. Thank you. Another great question. This is a really big component of our health equity strategies, and Dr. Kiden actually articulated very well. It's something that this will, one barrier is that the education that to really understand and make that informed decision to get vaccinated. Our health equity coordinator, Dr. Sheila Davis, along with we have hired a cultural broker who is bilingual in Spanish. They have given 15 town halls thus far. Our medical officer, Dr. Urbina, Chris Urbina, has also held town halls. One good example is with the early childhood education community. Those community members were eligible to get vaccinated and really have been doing incredible work for this whole year to provide child care throughout the pandemic. There were some questions with that group, and so we hold town halls and are going to continue to hold town halls to provide good information. Additionally, we're working with a group of community ambassadors that are trained, and these are groups that really are connected with community on a grassroots level. They're able to provide even just a quick conversation, almost door to door, with providing information with community members, saying, hey, I've been vaccinated and here's how it went. Here's, can I answer some of your questions? And so that, that is going on as we speak. We, those community ambassadors helped us out with a clinic in Longmont, an equity clinic in Longmont at Timberline Elementary last Saturday. And the work was done. We vaccinated 200 community members there with known barriers to accessing vaccine. That early work was done with education and really reaching out and saying, hey, this is something, how can we, what questions do you have? And, here's access. Here's how you can access the vaccine. I want to be clear, and this is a tough message for the community. These equity clinics are truly, I would say, by appointment, we really intend those. We want the community and our community ambassadors. They work with nonprofits throughout the community, like El Comité and others are really helping us out. City of Longmont and Carmen Ramirez, who's an incredible staff member and cultural broker, is really connected with the community. It's really helped us out to connect with community members. And so, you won't necessarily see these types of clinics advertised widely. The goal truly is that grassroots connection and really understanding community members that have true barriers to access. And we're building an incredible system. And I really want the community members to understand BCH has really stepped up. They've held clinics. They've done tens of thousands of vaccines in our community. And so we really encourage community members to, one, be patient and knowing that their turn will come to be vaccinated. And if you have resources, if you're able to access the platforms out there to sign up, please access those. And then these clinics are really for community members that have those barriers and don't feel comfortable using those, that traditional system.
Are you seeing the numbers uptick in the amount of vaccines you're giving to the communities that were resident and getting it before, Dr. Kiden and Chris?
Well, I'll let Chris talk about those specific communities. What I would say is there's this sort of rumor that Boulder people don't believe in vaccines, and I think we've disproven that. We have very high uptake in our seniors and our healthcare workers. I think we have 80% of our healthcare workers have been vaccinated, and our seniors, the rate is quite high, I think, amongst the highest in the state. I think that our community, partly related to this education and efforts that the county and the BCH have taken, they're believing in the science and they're lining up to get vaccinated. Does that mean there are not pockets where people are hesitant? I think absolutely we have pockets of people that are hesitant, and our approach is to try to encourage them. And we do know, for example, with other vaccines, the most important predictor of vaccination is a physician's recommendation. So we're trying to be clear in saying, if you're unclear, if you're not sure whether you should get the vaccine, what we're saying is from the medical community is you should definitely get this vaccine. It saves lives and it will allow us to open up our society and get back to normal economic times, et cetera. But there are valid questions. You mentioned that you had some yourself, and I did too. How this was very quick and was it safe? And I think now we have, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of if not millions of doses that have been given, and we feel even more comfortable with the safety. But, it's reasonable for people to question that, and I think we have to go to them and continue to remind them. And for those people that were waiting and see, what we're saying is, okay, it's been 3-4 months. Hopefully, all of us that have been vaccinated on this call, none of us had major side effects, and we've had, thousands of employees have been vaccinated, and we've had lots of minor side effects, but generally the safety continues to be accumulating the safety data.
That's Boulder County Public Health Emergency Manager Chris Campbell and Dr. Ben Kiden from Boulder County Health. He's the Chief Medical Officer at BCH, talking with KGNU's Miriam Schiff about the vaccine rollout and other related issues here in Boulder County. You can hear the complete interview on Miriam's Monday Metro program. That's Monday at 3 p.m. 20 minutes after 8 o'clock, listener-supported KGNU. Sunny skies today, highs near 70 degrees in the metro area. Well, we're excited, very excited, that KGNU has a new news director. Regular listeners will recall that Maeve Conran transitioned from that role last fall after a long and successful tenure leading the news department. KGNU embarked on a a national and indeed international search for a new news director. And we are very happy to welcome Shannon Young to that position as of today. She's with me now in the studio. Hi, Shannon.
Good morning.
It's great to see you and great to have you filling Maeve's big shoes. But I want to give listeners a sense of your background, your initial impressions, and your priorities. So introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about your journalism career to date.
Okay. I started journalism in Austin, Texas, about 20 years ago. And from there, I went to Houston, and I was at KPFT, the Pacifica station in Houston, for a while. I worked as a volunteer coordinator. I helped in the news department. And from there, I went to Mexico, where I worked as a foreign correspondent for many, many years. And during that time as well, I was an editor for Free Speech Radio News, which played here on KGNU.
Yes, we played Free Speech Radio News, I believe, every weekday afternoon for its entire run.
Yes, and we came back momentarily for about 3 years as a weekly program. And
we also broadcast that.
That's right. You
I think
have.
That's where I first heard your name, when you were an editor at FSRN, as
yes.
we called it. Yeah. And so you've been living in Mexico for how long?
About 20 years.
Well, that is a big change to relocate not only yourself, but your family.
That's true. That is true.
Why?
Because the way that the pandemic has been managed in Mexico, it leaves a lot of uncertainty. And I think that the biggest impact has been, I mean, just in me personally, has been that there have been no in-person schools for more than a year. And there's no set date for returning to the classroom. And by about February, it became clear that there probably would not be conditions for a safe return to in-person classes for this upcoming school year. And that's when I decided to start looking for a job in the U.S. and to relocate the family to the U.S. And really, literally, like within days, I heard about the KGNU news director opening. And so I applied and, you know, here I am.
Briefly, how would you characterize your experience or the response in Mexico and maybe specifically in Oaxaca, where you were living?
The response to the pandemic.
Yes.
Well, a hallmark of it is to downplay the severity of the pandemic. Of course, Mexico, in official numbers and government acknowledged numbers, ranks third in the world, just behind the U.S. and Brazil in official deaths. But that really goes hand in hand with chronic under-testing. In order to get a test, it's very, very difficult to get a free test. And if you want to get a test that you pay for, it's quite a chunk of money for income earners in Mexico. So there is a financial disincentive to getting tested, which of course affects epidemiological surveillance. So we don't really know what's going on. I mean, concretely, in the case of Oaxaca, Mexico has the highest positivity rate in the world of any country, right? And beyond that, the highest positivity rate in Mexico has generally throughout the pandemic been in Oaxaca. And it hasn't fallen below 60% since June. So you really have a high degree of uncertainty in going about your day and being able just to do regular things, like if you want to get your children out of the house and take them somewhere, you know, you just kind of have this worry in the back of your mind that COVID is everywhere. There's just a lot of uncertainty and purposeful downplaying of how severe it is to be able to really get a sense of what the impact as far as deaths go in Mexico. You have to look at excess mortality. And Mexico has one of the highest degrees of excess mortality in the world as well. We're now well over 300,000 excess deaths from COVID. And a lot of people say it's a lot closer to 500,000. It's very, very high. And of course, this is a population that's about a third of what the U.S. population is.
So you and your family made the decision to leave. You applied for the job and you're hired. You're here as of today.
Yes.
KGNU's news director. What are kind of the fundamental principles that guide you in deciding, you know, what's news, how news is reported, how it's presented?
Well, first you have to do an assessment of what the needs are, because community news is also a community service. So in order to figure out how you best serve, you have to listen to what those needs are. Talk to people, you know, what do you want? You know, what kind of information do you need to be able to make informed decisions? And what kind of information should other people know about, right? I mean, it is an ecosystem, right? And so if you make that ecosystem analogy, the news director position is somewhat that of a gardener, right? You have to prepare the groundwork. You have to tend to the plants. You just have to really maintain your garden healthy in order for it to bear fruit.
Any first impressions? I imagine you started listening to KGNU online when this position came up.
That's right. Yeah. I'm really in just a learning curve at this point. Really, I just have to get a sense of how things are. I've been physically in Boulder for less than 48 hours at this point. So I'm really kind of seeing it with outsider eyes. And, you know, I think it's kind of akin to how sometimes foreign correspondents go into Mexico and they're just kind of getting their bearings, you know, what's going on, and maybe, you know, seeing some things that locals are already used to. That's kind of the reverse to me. I was born and raised in the U.S., and I'm coming back after a long hiatus, a long period away. And so just seeing some things that, I guess, in a different light. And, of course, within the U.S., I'm new to Colorado, so there's quite a learning curve that I'm about to embark on.
Yeah. Well, in addition to listening to the community and educating yourself on some of the current issues, other priorities in your first, say, few months here?
Housing, for example.
You're finding a place to live.
Yeah, finding a place to live. Okay. So just all of the basics, you know, housing, food, family, bringing up my family so they can get settled, getting them into school. I mean, just really the day-to-day stuff that I think so many people just take for granted is what their daily routine is. I'm just opening a completely new chapter of my life.
Well, you've been at this for quite a while, and you've watched the changes that have occurred in the media over these past two decades. Where does community radio fit?
I think community radio always has a place in particular. You know, it's where I got my start, and I just never really left. I mean, the furthest I strayed was public radio, which really isn't straying that far afield. It's still non-commercial radio, and it's just a click that I've always had, and I just really appreciate it because it's you're really close to the ground, and you have a feedback opportunity that's, I think, a lot more opportune than in corporate media or media that's distant, geographically distant from the communities that are receiving the information.
Well, Shannon, if listeners want to connect with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Definitely. There's the news email, news@kgnu.org. I want to know what the needs are, what you want to hear from KGNU. Are there things that are information that deserves more coverage? Are there issues that I should be paying attention to in particular? I'm really in a listening and learning mode at this moment, and, you know, would love to hear story tips and comments. Just write to news@kgnu.org. Maybe, you know, put in the subject line, attention Shannon or story tip. And, you know, I might not be able to respond individually to each email, but I certainly will read everyone.
Shannon Young is the brand new, as of today, News and Public Affairs Director at KGNU. Welcome.
Thank you.
It's 8:30 at listener-supported community radio. Time for a news update from the BBC.